All right, good to see you tonight. We're going to be in Genesis 12. If you would go there, Genesis 12. Our New Year theme, as we revealed this morning, was obviously you can see it, press toward the mark. And pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God. I'd like to bring a message this evening on trust the process, kind of a little bit coinciding with it somewhat, but want to look throughout the scriptures on different characters of the Bible on Sunday night who have truly trusted the process and allowed God to work in their lives and not given up and thrown in the towel. Genesis chapter 12, you know, is that great Abrahamic covenant that's given to Abram, his name at the time. Notice, if you will, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4, he says, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Now, just a little reminder that you're never too old for God to come calling, right? And some people's golden years are really their golden years for Christ. And God uses them in a great way in those golden years. And you think about, now, God comes to Abram and calls him out from where he is to go to a place that he says, "I'll show thee, I'll show thee." And whenever God is vague with you, you can trust him, right? Trust him. Whenever he's vague and says, "Well, Tim, I want you to go here and do this or that." And you say, "Lord, I want more details." And if he doesn't reveal more details to you, it's not a time to not move. You move on the leading of the Holy Spirit, of our Lord, and you trust the results, really, to him. We have a God we can trust. You know that. So the emphasis comes back to trusting the process. What are you going through tonight? You may be going through something that you have to trust the process. Doesn't seem like it's working out. Now, there's several things here that I found. Statements that have been made throughout history, but very fitting. One goes, "Enjoy the journey, not the destination." You've heard that before, right? That's easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? Enjoy the journey. Well, you think about it, that's difficult to live. And Abram, we're going to see, really lived that. Many a well-intended believer started out the process only to fall short due to no end in sight and no view of the prize. Like we said this morning, we're pressing towards the mark. There is a prize. There is a result out there that we're going forth. I like this one. Fall in love with the preparation and not the prize. And you think about great athletes of the past and others that have fallen in love with the preparation and not just the trophy, you know. And sometimes that has helped and motivated them to get up and work hard and practice like they should. You think about here spiritually, though. Think about the process. God is preparing us. He's preparing us. This is not just the hype. This is not just a pep to get the child of God to move or to stay the course in the midst of trial and pain, but it is in fact the way of the saint. We know that. Continual reminder in Scripture to keep our eyes on the prize. Now, again, so many get disillusioned with some material trophy of this life instead of the statement, "Well done, well done." And that's what we're going after today, aren't we? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to go after. I know you do as well. Now, let me say this here as we start out. The process we're talking about, and thank you for listening so well, but the process is twofold. It's twofold. It's my good and His glory. My good and His, isn't it? What God allows us to go through and everything that He's bringing us through is for my good, one, and for His glory. And you can rest on that. Abram had no idea what God really had in store for him. He had no idea where God was going to send him or what was going to take place, but he knew two things. This was going to be for my benefit, and it would glorify God Almighty. And he knew that. You as a Christian ought to take heart to that and realize that everything in your, if you're living right for God, now we know that, right? You're not living in a wicked manner, whatever the case. I know you folks aren't. But if you're living right for God, as I know you are, you can trust everything that comes across your path or across your desk is for your good and His glory. People, listen to this quote, "People of faith have an incredible ability to walk through the dark with infallible accuracy." I like that. people of faith have an incredible ability to walk through darkness with infallible accuracy. Why? Because their hand is in the hand of the guide, isn't it? We used to sing the song, I wish we could sing it more, "The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is what? Follow." And we're walking through darkness. We know that. But He's in control. Infallible accuracy. How do you do that? How are you always on point? How did you get ahead of the curve? You say, well, I know the Creator. I know the guide. He's leading me. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, listen, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. As we read this morning, he says he journeyed toward the south. He kept going still towards the south. And you and I ought to catch on to that. Infallible accuracy as we walk through the dark. Thy word is what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's guiding me, directing me. How did you avoid that financial crisis? How did you get away from that? How did you stay on track? Whatever it is, you say, well, I know the guide. I'm focused not on money, not on material. I'm focused on the Savior. And we press toward the mark. Now, this man Abraham, again, reveals to us several things in the Christian life. Number one, notice this, that the Lord takes the initiative to reveal His purpose for our lives. God takes initiative. If it was left up to us, we would fail, wouldn't we? I know I would. And I do. But if it's left up to us, we take the initiative to seek God, to get His will, to know. No, God came into your life through circumstances, through other things that took place in your life, and He tapped you so kindly on the shoulder. And He said, Tim, I want you to follow me. I want you to go where I want you to go and all of that. God takes the initiative. That's where we're working with our children, especially young grandchildren, that we are helping them to realize that God is working in their lives to take the initiative to reveal His perfect will for their lives. And what we do and how we do that, right, girls, right, is that what? We direct them through church services, through prayer time, family devotion, other things. And that's what we're doing. And we're thinking about it. He takes the initiative, right? It's how we respond to this revelation that determines what He will do with you and with me. How do we respond to it? Now, Abram didn't have to follow, did he? He didn't have to go. He was wealthy. You know that. You folks have done studies on him. He was wealthy. He was a prominent man. He had all this kind of honor and respect in the community. Everyone looked to Abram. He was one of the big guys in town, if you will. And what did he do? It says he departed. Verse 4. He departed. He went the way God told him to go. How we respond to this revelation of His divine will determines what He'll do with us, where He'll take us. Now, with God, we know there are no shortcuts to maturity. God will always complete what He starts in us if we will allow Him. Our free will gets us off track, if you're like me, doesn't it? I want to do it my way and follow my own will and do what I want to do. That's what gets us off track. He says, if we will listen and follow, He always completes what He starts. Always does. Now, later we're going to see Abram, what does he do? His wife comes. I can't bear children. This is what we're going to do, right? And by the way, they picked up Hagar where? In Egypt. When a time of distrust in God, he said, we don't have anything to eat. There's a famine in the land. Let's go down to Egypt, which is a picture of the world. Instead of trusting God like he should have. And we think about now, He will direct us. There's no shortcuts to maturity with God. He's working in our lives. He's working. So we see here, first of all, let me move ahead and we'll get through this here. The precept. Verse number one, the precept. He gives it. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'll show thee. The process always starts with the word of God. Notice that. The Lord said unto Abram. The Lord said unto him. And the process that you're going through, it will always start, and the direction He gives will always start with the Word of God. You will not fulfill the will of God outside of the directives of Scripture. You will try to, and I have often tried, and will make some mistakes and falter and fall from time to time. But the directives of the Bible, you think about it. Trying to make some decisions recently, thinking through some things, and I thought, why am I having difficulty making some decisions about these certain topics or things, you know? And I thought, am I coming back to the pattern of the Bible about making decisions? What does the Bible show me about making decisions? Is the decision I'm about to make, is it according to the Word of God? Is it right? Is it righteousness? Is it going to help people or hurt people? All of those things that we're supposed to do. Now, thinking about this, we come back to the Word of God. We follow this will, and it's directed by the Word of God, the precepts. We're to take and obey the precepts and the principles of the Bible. You know that. And it comes back to God working in us for His divine will, His divine purpose. Again, how a person responds to this revelation, the Word of God, reveals what they believe about God. You've heard that before, I'm sure. What they respond to. You read the Bible and it speaks to you through the Holy Spirit and it directs you and all of that. What you do next reveals what you believe about the God of the Bible, doesn't it? Am I going to follow through? Abram, no doubt, doesn't say how much time has lapsed between this, verse 1 and verse 4 in particular, but it may have been a little while. I don't believe personally it was very long. Abram knew God enough to get up and act, didn't he? He said, I'll go. I don't know what kind of conversation that was when he got home to Sarah. Can you imagine? We got to go. Where are we going? Well, we got to sell our house, so call the realtor and get the cattle together. Tell the cowboys to get all the cattle together, get everyone. We got to go. There's no way we're going to handle this, Abram. What are we doing? Where are we going? I don't know yet. I don't know. And he had to deal with all of those things. And we think through that he followed the directive of the Word of God. Conflict always reveals our character, you know. And Abram was faced with a great conflict in his life on to obey or not to obey. To obey or not to obey. And that's what it comes down to. There's times in life when we're forced to make major decisions, and what we know about God by the Word of God determines which way we'll turn. Now you think about this. We're going to look at several characters in the weeks ahead, but I thought about Joseph, and Joseph did this. He was faced with a tremendous crisis in his life. Tremendous. He was sold into slavery, betrayed by his brothers, and then he was betrayed by Pharaoh, by Potiphar, and then he was betrayed by so many people around him. And he constantly had problem after problem after problem. And you would look at Joseph and say, that guy is not in the will of God. There's something wrong. There's sin in his life. There's disobedience. There's something. And by the way, always listen to the Holy Spirit and trust Him and not man. But Joseph said, I'm going to keep going anyways. I'm going to go. Why? Because he knew the God of the Word. He knew what to do. What we know about God comes from the Word and determines which way we'll turn. Abram said as he went through difficulties and problems, we're going to keep going. Why? Because I know the God of the Word. You remember the angel showed up to him there in the tent as he was about to help Lot down there in Sodom. And Abram knew exactly who these guys were. I believe the pre-incarnate Christ and a couple of his angels. Abram knew exactly who they were. He didn't him-haul around and say, well, who are you guys? What did he do? He ran out to them. He said, come in. Told Sarah, go get everything ready. Go get everything ready. He's a man who not only knew the Word of God, but knew the God of the Word. You think about Daniel. Daniel was forced into slavery. He was mutilated physically. He was taken advantage of. He was all kinds of things. These poor young men had to go through. And then he comes through and has a chance to be prominent and prevalent and everything. And he stands before the king and says, there is a God in heaven. Daniel, you're the one there. You're the interpreter. I'm going to make you famous. And Daniel says, no, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Again, coming back to knowing the God of the Word. Nehemiah stood on that wall there in utter destruction. He had a couple pickaxes and a couple sledgehammers and some trowels, and they were trying to rebuild a giant wall. You ever seen the wall there? Amazing. Trying to rebuild this wall. And they came, what Sanballat, Tobiah, we studied last year, and started making fun of them and mocking them. If a fox goes up, that's going to fall. Look at their mortar work. I mean, good night. That's horrible. Look at their workmanship. They can't figure nothing out. And all of that, Nehemiah said, listen, we have nothing to do with you. We have a command and a mandate from God Almighty. We're going to finish it. We're going to do what God asked us to do. We have a precept tonight to follow God, to keep going, to press toward the mark and not give up. And you think, well, how can I do it? I'm too nervous. I don't know if I can trust God. What if He asked me to do something difficult or hard? Hey, don't worry about it. You trust that to Him. And anytime God is vague with you, you go ahead and take a step out by faith because you're relying upon the God of the Word. Notice a couple things here. What was that command given? Number one, to leave the familiar. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. That's familiar. That's where he liked to be. That's where he grew up. That's where he resided. That's everything he knew. All of his cousins, family, everybody resided there. Everybody. And it was familiar to him, wasn't it? Sometimes it's the hardest thing to get away from the familiar. In the new year, we're to step out by faith. Your schedule may change a little bit, whatever the case is, but the familiar to the unfamiliar for the sake of glorifying God and for your good. Secondly, to leave, I have your financial security, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, you know that. Abram, and I guess his father was still around, you think about, they lived quite longer than we did, obviously. He was there and he was going to inherit even more than he already have. Even more than what he could have, financial security. He knew what he had. He was, according to history, we know that he was a rather wealthy man. He was a prominent man. He had all of those things. And whenever you have a decision come in your life between money or the will of God, or money and serving God, or making money, or maybe doing something for the Lord, you always choose the Lord. You know that. But you think through this with me. Abram said, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not in it for the fame. I'm not in it for any of this. The Lord can have all of my cattle. He can have anything he wants. I want to do what you want me to do. I want you to do what you want me to do. I want to follow you. I have thirdly to leave not only the familiar and the financial, but the future. Leave the future plans to God. But God, I wanted to keep this ranch here on the backside of the desert for my kids. Abram, you don't have any kids. Oh, yeah. Maybe I should follow the will of God. I want to leave it, Lord. Isn't that like us, though? Lord, I'm going to hang on to that for one day. My wife jokes with me that I'm a hoarder. I am a hoarder. What are you going to use that for? I said, one day, you non-hoarders are going to come. Do you have that little doohickey? I do. Now, it's going to take me 3 days to get into the garage to get it. But you think about, it's just like us. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to keep that. I may need that money for the future. We may need it one day for this or that. Now, you think you trust God and give it to Him and let Him have it. Now, trusting the process. Are you trusting the process today? It's hard sometimes when it doesn't go your way. Let me say here again next, the promise, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. How? I have no children. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Notice that. Again, coming back to the covenant, but there's a promise. And with every precept, all God's precept are attended by promise to the obedient. With every precept, there's that promise, isn't there? God says, go, and we say, okay. He says, here's a promise. Abram, go, and I'll make of thee a blessing. But Lord, I don't see how. He says, trust me. The promise of God. Faith in God is not based upon a minimum of information. Faith in God is based upon a maximum of information and His promises. People say, I can't follow. I don't know that. Because you don't know the Word, and I don't know the Word like I should. We ought to know the Bible. Study the Bible. Figure out what the Bible says. Because it's faith and stepping out by faith is based upon maximum of information. We have all that we need. And just these words, get thee out of thy country, go from thy kindred, was enough for Abram to say, Lord, I know you well enough that I trust you and I'll follow. I know you well enough to give that which I don't want to give, but I'll give it anyways. He's no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which cannot lose. Jim Elliot said, he was murdered by those Inca Indians there back in the 50s as he went out. He said, I'm no fool to give what I can't keep on this earth, to gain what I cannot lose, what I cannot lose. You think about the promise to trust the provider. Notice, turn over with me to chapter 15 here real quick. Notice 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, protection, and thy exceeding great reward, thy fulfillment. Protection and fulfillment. We all want that in life. We want protection, but we also want to be fulfilled. We want to fulfill something in life. We don't want to just flounder and not be of any kind of value and not leave any kind of lasting mark. But the promise was to trust the provider. Trust him. Lord, verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now again, God is reminding Abraham of who he is and what he's going to do. Abram's having a little bit of doubt about the will and word and promise of God. So to trust the provider, to trust the provisions. Abram would go down, and we'll look at this a little bit later, he'd go down to Egypt because of the famine. And in Egypt, you know all of that. They desired Sarah and all these things, and he had to almost lie to get out of it and all those things that happened. And he going through all the process, and on the way they journeyed, they picked up this Hagar and brought, who to now today even, is Ishmael, is still a thorn in the flesh of the, or in the side of the Israelites. Still today. We can still make mistakes and step outside of the will of God along the journey and along the process, but it helps us if we'll keep focused, as we said this morning, pressing on when it doesn't seem like it's fitting, doesn't seem like it's working. Precepts. Trust the provider and the provisions, and trust the position. Trust the position. He got restless. He heeded the, let me put it nice, the nagging of Sarah. We need a son. We need a child. He heeded that instead of trusting the position God put him in all the way over. And throughout the book of these next several chapters, we'll see. And we see here. Now, people around us, again, will try to get us nervous and scared and try to, in any, by the way, people close to us, right? People close to us, people familiar to us, all of that, Christian people, family, they may try and get you nervous and scared about the will of God and try and pull you outside of the will of God, but you don't allow it. That's what Sarah did. She was a wonderful woman, but she did begin to doubt and caused Abram to stumble in this regard. And you think about the promise. Let me say here thirdly, and we'll hurry, the protection. He said, I'll give you all that you need, but I will also protect you. You're never out of sight of the watchful eye of the Father. He knows how much you can carry. We said that, you know. He knows just the temperature you can handle, all of that. He knows exactly where you are, doesn't he? Knows exactly where you are. The protection. I feel sorry for people that don't know the Lord. I do. I feel sorry for the people that are unsaved, or the people that are saved, but they're not in the will of God. They're walking outside of God's will. I feel sorry for them because they do not have the protection of the Father. Now, he loves them and cares for them, and he will protect them by his grace and mercy. But we that are walking in the will of God daily, following him, we have the divine protection, daily protection, watchful eye of our Father. He protects us. He watches over us and cares for us. He says, again in chapter 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I can't imagine that responsibility, but Abram obviously took it and said, in stride, and said, I'll trust the process. I'll trust what you're doing, Lord. I'll trust what you're trying to do in my life and keep going. Now, how about us tonight? We don't have this great of a responsibility as Abram did, but we do and are supposed to do what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the word, heed his word, and pick up where we're supposed to. There's also, we'll see a little bit more next week, the patience. Patience. We're trusting him, waiting on him. Now this covenant will go, and we today, again, are the beneficiaries, much of this covenant. This is for the nation of Israel, you know that. But we see that through this, we will see the Messiah come. And through that Messiah and his shed blood and all that he did, we have freedom today and liberty and salvation in that Savior. So as we go through our journey, the process comes. I read an article recently of an athlete, very famous and very popular. And he made the statement of, as they were a championship team, they just won the championship. And he said, as a team, we realized as we were going through the process each year, every season, we'd start out and do practice and start out the preseason and all that. We were focused on the trophy, the trophy, the trophy, the trophy. And it was causing the members of the team to get lackadaisical and apathetic. Well, we just won the championship. You know, we can do it again. They were lackadaisical towards it. Until they came to a point, defining point, kind of midway season, when they realized, and that statement was kind of put out through the team, we're not going for the trophy. We're getting and we're falling in love, as I said in the beginning, with the process of building the team, the daily grind and process. And that's what transformed the entire team, he said, into a what they call a dynasty, where they won multiple championships, right? Where they fell in love with the work and doing the work, and not for the trophy, not for looking for that materialistic thing that they could put in their shelf somewhere, for the pride and the fame. They did it to be a good athlete, to be have pride and have respect of being hardworking and all of that. They fell in love with the process, and I encourage you to do that. Fall in love with that. Fall in love with the process of allowing God to work in your life, the process of daily Bible study, the process of daily prayer when you don't feel like it, the process of all of that, living righteously for Him. It's hard, isn't it? It's grinding work. It's not easy. But if we'll trust Him and we'll keep going, God will do great things, great things. We'll see here in a little bit in the following weeks as God worked through Abram. God spoke to Abram. God revealed to him all that He wanted him to do, and not just wandering through this life. The character that's alongside Abraham often is Lot. You know that. Lot is a complete, he's a type of the Christian who is unspiritual. You know that. Lot, the Bible says, Peter writes, he says, just Lot. Lot was saved. I believe that he was righteous. He was saved. But he's a picture, a type of the unspiritual believer. Abram's a type of a spiritual believer. And you see the reactions to every situation that comes their way. When there's problems, when things happen, you know the story when they came and kidnapped Lot. Remember that? Abram got everyone together, went out and had to rescue Lot, had to take care of that. The wonderful picture of Melchizedek and all of that. Later, Lot would fall back into sin and do things that he's not supposed to. Here comes Abraham, the spiritual Christian. And you and I are, and should be, you know that, alongside of him with that typology of a spiritual person. And the spiritual person often doesn't get very much credit. The spiritual person often doesn't get any of the attention or the fame. But you and I trust the process. Why are you going through so much and still staying faithful? I'm trusting the process. God's revealed not very much to you. It's pretty vague, trusting the process, because I know who He is. And you and I know the Word, but you know the God of the Word. That's important. That's important. So we'll see here next week a little bit more on this. Trusting God, letting Him work in your life. Where are you at tonight, Christian? Are you with Him? Are you following Him? Are you a little discouraged, downtrodden, not sure what to do? I'd encourage you, dive into the Bible this week. Get to know the God of the Word. And when He comes calling, as He will very soon, Tim, I want you to ... we won't hesitate. I know the God of the Word. I know that although some details are vague, I know the God of the Word, and I know what He wants me to do, and I can trust Him. All I have to do is follow. We can walk through darkness with infallible accuracy as a believer. Amen. All right, I'll stop there tonight. Thank you for coming and listening so well, and Lord willing, we'll see you here on Wednesday evening, and I hope you have a good week. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You again for this time. I pray that You would guide us and help us. We have the great ability and the miraculous ability to truly walk through this world that's dark, the world that's wicked, with infallible accuracy, Lord, that can only be explained that we are holding the hand of the guide, and You are directing us through Thy Word, because Your Word is that lamp, it's that flashlight that's directing our steps. We pray You'd help us, Father, to get, Lord, close to You as we should. Help us this week to be what we should be. Lord, I'm so thankful for these here that are so faithful to You, that love You, that are living for You, that have proven that already. And I thank You. Guide us, though, and help us. In Thy precious name we do pray. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. God bless.